You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studio, local, state, national, man. We are covering down on the stuff. And like the dude just said, yes, we are. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. All right. Well, I am pleased to have with us right here in the studio somebody who I've had the pleasure of knowing for a number of years, Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth, who served first in the House District 27, I believe. And so we served together then, but we've known each other just even outside of politics for quite a while. In fact, I think you know everybody here in the Right Side staff. Anyway, Will Ainsworth, welcome to the show.
No, great to be here. Good to be in the studio. Think about how long we've known each other. I think I was 16 when I first, met you. So,
So if anybody needs stories about the lieutenant governor, I may have them. Just
saying. Yes. A little blackmail there. So, and we did some stupid stuff in high school for sure and college as well. But, good to be here and, love y'all's studio. I mean, this is impressive and, really excited about Right Side Radio and, how you're growing. And, I can tell you all your listeners out there, I know y'all know this, but, Phil's one of my favorite guys in the state. And, we served together. He was in the Senate. I was in the House. And, man, we had some good battles. I mean, fighting against taxes and, trying to make sure government didn't grow. I was shocked. I just got elected in 14. And, man, and, at that time, Governor Bentley came with $800 million in new taxes. And we had a lot of good fights, and, that was fun trying to make sure we protect the taxpayers.
Yeah, we got that first gas tax killed.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, absolutely.
I like to point out that when that vote came up in the Senate on that first gas tax, and I think it was, 2016, that being W. Williams on the roll call, because everything's a roll call in the Senate, that I got to be the deciding vote that killed it. But, I mean, there's several of us, but nonetheless, I got to be the last one that drove the nail in the coffin for that particular round. But, Governor, I mean, you're the Lieutenant Governor of the state, which means you also preside over the Senate, and which is an odd job. I mean, you're a cat herder, but yet they are also their own legislative body. You're the executive sitting in with them. But I know you have your finger on the pulse of things that are happening because you get this hybrid opportunity to be both an executive who then works directly with the legislature, and you've also served in the legislature. So give me just your perspective here, sort of a softball for you, but what are your thoughts on the state of the state? How are we doing right now, in your opinion?
Yeah, Alabama, I think, is in great shape. And when you look at what's, going on in our economy, compare it to other states, I mean, first, when we had federal stimulus dollars, we didn't have to use it to repay debt. And the reason why, even though I didn't agree with necessarily shutting down our state, we got people back to work in Alabama through the pandemic. And because of that, we've had record growth in Alabama. I mean, last year, 16% growth in the Education Trust Fund, General Fund was growing, at a similar type margin. And so to see that type growth, whether it's private sector or government. Now, I will say this, and want to caution listeners, we believe about 8% of that growth was federal one-time money that came down from the feds. And so when we appropriated our dollars, we made sure that that money didn't go to reoccurring expenses. But even 8% growth in a business, not that we want to grow government, but the point that our economy is growing in Alabama. And here's why. For so long, the conversation was, all right, how many congressional seats are we going to lose? It's almost foregone conclusion.
They thought so, yeah.
Right, we were going to lose one. And then you start hearing we might lose two. Right? Yeah. And so you look at our population grew 5%. And now, during the pandemic, we were one of the top states for people to move to. After it, we continue to do that. I just saw in the last month where Huntsville was the number one city in the U.S. by, I think, U.S. News and World Report for people moving to. But here's what's interesting. A lot of people worried all these people moving to our state, it's going to turn us purple or, turn us Democrat. Not at all, right? I think the people are leaving their states because they're sick of the liberal policies, right? They want their kids to be in school. Right, I know as a parent of kids, we wanted our kids to be in school to learn. They learn a lot better in school than in our situation at home. I know there's people that do homeschooling, but not us. We didn't do it well. And, and then businesses, right? I mean, states and, governor's orders killed businesses in this country and life savings. In Alabama, we got people back to work. People want to go out to a restaurant and not wear a mask.
We even saw this past week alone, I think it was, that Governor Gavin Newsom of California was throwing some shade on Alabama. And, of course, the governor's office here kind of threw it right back at him and pointed out people are leaving your state in droves to move to places like Alabama.
Yeah, and their businesses. When you talk about the aerospace industry, guess what? All the listeners out there, Alabama is the aerospace and defense capital of the world. When you look at what's going on here from a research standpoint, the fact that we got Space Command based on merit, you know, and we were only deficient in four areas. Next closest state was Colorado with 10 areas they were deficient. And then after that was Florida, came in third. So Alabama's on the right track. Are there a lot of things we need to improve on? Absolutely. But from an economic standpoint, from being, you know, having low taxes, from having a good workforce, quality of life, great people, you know, I mean, look, being down here in Gadsden, got a lot of good memories. You know, I went to school down here at Westbrook, and what a great place to live. You know, I live up in Gunnersville. It's amazing the people that are moving to all of North Alabama. And, you know, you've got lakes, you've got mountains, you've got good schools, you've got good people, good churches. And so people are going to continue to move here, I'm convinced.
Listen, as an attorney, you know, as a practicing attorney, I did a real estate closing just a couple months ago. For a guy, it was a multi-million dollar closing. He purchased a major estate outside of town, but he also brought his entire business here from California. And his words were, they are running me in the ground out there. I got to get out. And so he literally came here, bought his new home, and brought his all his staff and his business here. And I think we're going to see more of that.
Yeah, and you mentioned Gavin Newsom. I mean, he needs to focus on his own state. I mean, because, I mean, they're going to lose so many businesses because they're just, you know, they don't get it. You know, if you tax a business and tax people, people are going to say enough's enough. And, you know, and so I think they're just sick of that. They're going to leave. And so, obviously, in Alabama, you know, and one of the things, you know, as the economy continues to do better, right, I think certainly one of the things we've got to look at is, you know, the answer is not just grow government, right? The answer is what can we cut to continue to have those advantages over other state from a tax policy standpoint? And I think that's something, you know, we've got to look at.
All right, so let me ask you about that.
Yeah.
Story out today on 1819 News, actually. Arthur Orr, you know, our colleague, I worked with him, you work with him in the Senate. State Senator Arthur Orr is one of the budget chairmen, one of the leaders of the Republican caucus in the Senate. He is out very strongly saying he completely and firmly advocates that this coming session there needs to be a tax rebate to the citizens of Alabama. He said basically we've collected so much we need to give some back. Now a rebate is like a one-time as opposed to a tax cut where it's cut forever. I would love to see a cut, but a rebate is something at least. What are your thoughts on this? Where's that going? Do you see it passing?
Yes, I mean, I haven't had a chance to talk to Senator Orr about this, but I mean, I can say, you know, certainly we support a rebate, but what I'm talking about, you know, is actually going in and cutting some stuff, you know, potentially removing the grocery tax. You know, I co-sponsored that when I was in the House, and certainly think it's past time to do that, right? I mean, and so my point is, though, you know, as conservatives, we got to remember, right, as government grows, the answer is not continue just to fund money into other programs and things. Certainly there's things we need to put money into that, you know, have merit. But at the end of the day, it's the taxpayers' money. So let's give it back to them. And so whether that's, you know, reducing whatever tax you want, but I certainly think that the answer is long-term tax cuts are the correct policy, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, I totally agree. And I think it's past time. I mean, when it gets to the point that government has surplus funds, that means they took more than they needed. And so as a matter of fiscal policy, that's a great opportunity to consider, like Senator Orr says, give some back.
Yeah, no, and I appreciate his leadership and certainly, you know, want to understand kind of everything he's looking at and certainly would support rebates, but also think, you know, I want to look at what are other things we can do. You know, the flip side is, look, I mean, you know, is the economy going to keep going like it's going? And that's something we got to be careful of because, you know, obviously, Republicans did a good job of putting in the Proration Prevention Act, and we haven't had proration in Alabama because of conservative policies. But I also, you know that our economy goes in cycles, right? And we're not going to continue to be on fire forever. And so at some point in time, there's going to be a downturn, and we all can thank President Biden for that because he's certainly not doing anything from an economic standpoint to help us. And so,
You know he just passed the Inflation Reduction Act?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. What was that, 87,000, you know, IRS agents? And when you could hire Marines, when you could hire law enforcement, when you could hire Border Patrol, right? I mean, this is how...
SRO is for schools.
Right, yes, exactly, yes. I mean, what a great thing. And so it's frustrating just what's coming out of D.C., and I'm preaching to the choir there. But I think also, but it has a real impact. And, you know, I mean, he's done more to hurt the economy, you know, in the last however long he's been in, however many years it's been. But, I mean, then, you know, then probably in my lifetime I've seen, right? I mean, because I wasn't born when Carter was in office, right? I mean, so when you look at that, you know, it's a problem. So
I remember the gas lines.
Yeah.
I'm older than you.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, Governor, we're going to take a quick break, come right back, keep the conversation going. I might want to flip it over to some school choice ideas.
Sure.
Boomer, take us to a break, brother. We'll do that right now. Let our sponsors have their say. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, here with Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth live in the studio. We'll be right back. And we are back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama, solid conservative, just plain right. Man, we are south of Birmingham, north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, to Gadsden, got a little bits of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. Governor, you are broadcasting over half the state right now. Glad you're with us.
Hey, always great to be on, and so good to talk to half the state.
How convenient, all at one time.
Absolutely.
Well, listen, we talked about several things in the last round there. Let me switch gears on you for a minute. The state of the state, Alabama, we're great economically. We're doing really good. Our unemployment's at a record low, like 2.7%, I believe. You know, we're a great state for a business climate. We're absolutely abysmal when it comes to education. I mean, one of the worst in the nation, ranked 50th out of 50. If you look at math, if you break it down by categories, we were like 52 out of 50, which is unbelievable. That means we were behind Puerto Rico and I think the Department of Defense schools overseas. API, where I've spent a lot of my time, and also while I was in the legislature, and I think you were there and we passed the Accountability Act, weren't you? Were you there then? Or was that right before you got there?
Before I got there.
That's before you got there. Still, the only version of school choice we have for the most part, besides charter schools, is the Accountability Act that allows some limited opportunity for kids to move from a failing school to a better school. But there are other states like Arizona that are dusting us right now on school choice. Arizona just passed one. It's basically it's an open enrollment school voucher. You want to go to a different school, your money goes with you. And we got to do something different. Your thoughts on school choice?
Yeah, and I support it. I think when you look at what we need to do in Alabama, I think to your point, you give a parent, right? I think parents need to have the choice. You give them the voucher amount, and then they decide, you know, where they want to go. And so the argument is, okay, what about my rural public school where I don't have a private school option? Well, guess what? If you have 500 students there and, you know, there's not a public school option, next year you're going to have 500 students again. You're not going to lose one student or $1, and you're still going to have the same exact amount of money. Now, initially up front, there's a cost because you're taking all the kids that are in private school. But when we're talking about $1.8 billion increase in education, and the projection Senator Marsh had last year was maybe $300 to $400 million new dollars, it's well worth it. Let me tell you why. All right, I've got a great story on this because I lived it myself. I was at Boaz High School as a sophomore, taking honors classes, APs, top 10 in my class, transferred to Westbrook after my sophomore year, went there my junior and senior year, and private school down in Gadsden that John Kroll helped start and kind of, you know, talked me into going. And we did it kind of for academic reasons, right? I go down there at Boaz, top of my class, you know, taking all these honors classes, go in there as a junior, and I'm taking classes with all sophomores. Right. And so, I mean, you know, and so they were that far.
You were taking classes with Boomer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so enjoyed having classes with you, too.
That's great.
But, you know, so when you look at, you know, the purpose of education is to get people ready for a job and to get people ready, you know, if you're going to college, get you ready. And when I was a whole year behind, and then you look at, okay, well, then you wonder, why are we testing near the bottom? There's your answer. Right. I mean, I could tell you, you know, one of my twins, Hunter, right? I mean, he's bright kid, you know, testing on a 11th, 12th grade, you know, math level last year. But he had students in their grade that were, you know, testing on, you know, 3rd and 4th grade. And so what happens is the teachers have to teach to the lowest common denominator in that case. And so many kids, you know, they're not pushing them. And so I think, but let's get back to the point of why we need school choice. parents know best, period.
Absolutely.
And so anybody that argues that, you're wrong. Not the teachers union, not the superintendent. Parents know best. And so what school choice really gets down to is, I, as a parent of Hunter, Hayes, and Addy, I ought to be able to determine what's best for my child and take my tax dollars that I pay and decide where they want to go. It's really pretty simple.
It is very simple, and for some reason it's always very hard, but it's very simple. And I've likened it a lot of times, too, to the free market in terms of businesses. If you build the better mousetrap, people will come to it, but it also makes the original mousetrap builder up his game to do a better job. And I think you're going to find, too, that this is going to up the game overall. People say, you're going to crush public education. No, we're going to wind up making it stronger, because if kids are leaving that school, the school will either wither on the vine or it will up its game and play up to its competition. But right now, there's no competition.
Yeah, and competition is what drives every free market enterprise, or in this case, it should be the same way in the schools, right? Schools. And so, you know, we've got another thing we don't talk about is tenure, right? You talk about something. Part of the reason the AEA went after me so bad when I ran for the House is I told Dr. Mabry at the time I was against tenure, was going to do everything I could to get rid of it. Well, why is that? Again, personal experience. I had a teacher at Boaz that was terrible. They couldn't fire her because of tenure, right? And so I think, you know, when you have people that do not have to perform, whether it's business, whether it's a school, whether it's anywhere, right? I mean, if you're a doctor and you've got a nurse not performing, that's not good, no. Right? I mean, so you've got to have – look, and most educators want to do a good job, right? But why not incentivize people based on how they perform? That's novel. It's what we do in the private sector.
No kidding.
Do the same thing in education. But on the competition side, it's going to help schools – you know, have to, you know, they're going to have to do better, because if not, they're going to lose their students and they're not going to have a school.
And then here's the thing, too. You mentioned it a moment ago, the increase in funding to our Alabama Education Trust Fund, which, for those who don't know, Alabama is one of the few states in the nation that has split budgeting. Everything in the world, education's in one budget called the ETF. Everything in the world that does everything else for the state is in the other budget, the general fund. All right, the ETF has been upfunded and upfunded and upfunded every single year. Now, the liberals, the Democrats will still say, we don't fund education enough, but they can never tell you what enough is. But the reality is this. Last time I saw a study, there were something like 8 or 9 other states that spend less per child and yet rank higher than us in the education rankings. Clear indication is it's not what we're spending, it's how we're spending it.
Yeah, no doubt. When you look at the amount of money that goes into education, our state compared to other states, you know, I mean, we're in good shape there, right? We have plenty of money going into our schools, but we have broken systems, and we haven't changed anything in 30, 40, 50 years. And then we wonder why we continue to collapse when other states are having options and having choice and having competition and getting rid of tenure and incentivizing people based on performance. And then we're stuck in the 1950s. And we're, you know, and yeah. So, I mean, that's what's frustrating. And so we've got to look, I mean, you know, when you talk about economic development, to your point, yeah, we do well in a lot of areas, but education, we've got to do better. And so let's look at what other states are doing and what's working. School choice is one of those.
And it's for our kids.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's really, it's a matter of quality of life, and it also brings in more business when you have good school systems.
Yeah.
Amen. All right, listen, Governor, we're going to take a break right now. We'll come back and do some more, all right?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, folks, listen, Right Side Radio here live in the studio with Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth. More to come. We'll be right back. All right, we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Boomer, what was that? Was that, where did that come from?
That was an automatic put in. I got to take that out.
I went from Ted Nugent to something that sounded like it came off of Fast Times at Ridgemont High. I don't even know what that was. Oh my! Pull that one out of the order. I don't like that one. That was. I'll still be solid conservative, just plain right. But dude, we gotta have some Van Halen or some Ted Nugent or whatever in there. Governor, don't know if you know it or not, but by the way, you You have the auspicious honor of being a interviewee on the same show that Ted Nugent was on just about 2 weeks ago.
Okay, cool.
So we had the Motor City Madman do his interview with us, and it's right now it's one of our biggest downloaded podcasts. So where are we at right now, Boomer? Like over 71,000, almost 72,000. Where are we at?
Yeah.
What?
71,500.
Sweet.
Wow, awesome. Congrats.
That's crazy.
It's pretty awesome.
I don't know what is happening right now, Boomer. Just get me some more bumps. We're going to lose people if you bump like that again, just
people
so you know.
People like truth.
No more
keep speaking
bumps.
It.
That's right.
You know?
Hey, Governor, let me switch gears. So this past weekend, the State Republican Party had its meeting. I've talked about this a little on the show. I had Jeff Poore and Dale Jackson. They come on a lot, too, and we talk about stuff. One of the things we covered down on is the fact that the State Executive Committee just passed a resolution calling on the legislature to enact a closed primary system, you know, and this election cycle, more than any other, had some craziness in it. I mean, you and I both know Senator Tom Watley. He lost by one vote, which I still can't believe. Lost by one. I have an entire Senate district lost by one vote. But we also know for a fact that local Democrats decided to pick the Republican they liked the best, and they organized an effort to go after Watley. So you got to know, if just two Democrats voted, he lost because of that. But nonetheless, there was a pretty large group of them. All that to say, hey, Lieutenant Governor, what do you think of closed primaries?
Yeah, so I was at the Republican meeting, really good. I'll say this real quick on that. Herschel Walker was awesome. I got to hear him speak.
Oh, was it good?
Yeah, and I'd never heard him speak, but, I mean, he's so talented, so passionate. He'll be great for America. We need to make sure he gets elected. But, you know, I came out, spoke to the executive committee on Saturday, and told him I support closed primaries. And here's why. You know, I've always been a Republican. I'm not one of these Republicans that's ever switched. It's all I've ever known, you know, all my parents have ever known, right? And so I've been a Republican my entire life because of what Republicans believe. And so for me, if you want to vote in my primary, which is the Republican primary, you need to be a Republican, right? We don't want people that are Democrats trying to influence, you know, that's what the general election's for. And so the primaries need to be for only Republicans, and I think we need to have a process to where, hey, if you want to be Republican, sign up and you can come vote in a Republican primary. If you want to be a Democrat, don't know why in the world you would anymore, but if you do, go sign up and go vote in your primary, but stay out of ours. So support it 100%.
Will they name it the Tom Watley bill?
You know, I don't know what they'll name it. And I've got Senator Watley and Jay Hovey, both good friends of mine.
Yeah.
And I'm staying out of that. But I mean, as far as but I think, you know, just the principle of Republicans need to vote in Republican primaries, and because it's the Republican primary, right? That's the name. And so we don't need to cloud it up with Democrats doing that. And, you know, the arguments against it, I don't really agree with. You know, I mean, you hear all this stuff. What about if I live in a rural area and there's not any, you know, good, you know, Republican? Well, write somebody in. You know, I mean, like, so.
That's true.
You know, I mean, or whatever. Go recruit somebody and try to win. And so, but anyway, I just think, you know, so that's my position on it. And certainly people can agree or disagree. But I think at the end of the day, you know, if you're going to have a primary system, it's not the general. That's what the general's for. And so I think you've got to support party registration on that.
Okay. So that'll be a legislative matter.
Right.
Let me just ask you, have you heard, I mean, do you think there is a momentum within the House and Senate to see that passed here?
I've heard some chatter, you know, I mean, getting it passed, who knows, because you could have a few people, as you know, slow it down and kill it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I would imagine that will be tough to pass.
Yeah, I think it will be tough to pass. It'll depend on how they frame it. And, of course, you don't get to sponsor legislation, but you can certainly weigh in with, you know, endorsements of legislation. But I guess if it came down to a split vote, you could be the deciding vote in the Senate.
Yeah, so my vote would be yes. I'd
okay.
vote to, you know, for primary, yeah. So I mean, I can tell you that 100%.
All right.
Certainly glad to go out there and talk about why we need it in the state. So.
Well, listen, one more topic, and you may be less familiar with this. So if I need to fill in the blanks to help you out with it, I will. But I'm switching gears totally, all right? Just go with me. It's almost like an right. ADD interview here. But right. So the reality is the vaccine mandates from the Biden administration have been a debacle. He got shot down in the courts left and right. Pretty much the only place, in fact, it just came out yesterday that the Biden administration just quietly did away with the federal employee requirement for testing and mandates. So everybody in the world is getting back to normal. The mandates failed or they were legally struck down, except for the military. The military is still going through the forced reduction in force, because people are having to get out. But where it's impacted more than anything is the National Guard, the National Guard and Reserves. So the National Guard and Reserves makes up, I want to say, something in the neighborhood of like 35% of the overall U.S. military force. That's Air National Guard. Like right here in Alabama, we have a National Guard with an F-16 fighter wing. We have logistics units, aviation units, Green Berets, EOD bomb disposal. Extremely robust, far more robust than most states in terms of its combat capability. That being said, report came out just recently that when the National Guard passed its deadline on June 30th, I think it was, that 18% of Alabama's National Guard had chosen not to get vaccinated, which means that you're literally looking at losing almost one-fifth of the Alabama National Guard. Now, I know that the Governor Ivey is the commander-in-chief. You don't have any direct say over the National Guard as lieutenant governor. But I wonder your thoughts on this. Were you aware that we're looking at losing? Here we are going into hurricane season and the natural disasters that can happen on our coast, and those are our first responders for that, not to mention the go-to-war capability. Your thoughts on losing 18% of the National Guard?
Yeah, I mean, so this is something that just started getting brought up in the last week. I've heard about several times. First, let me say this, right? I think when you look at National Guard, the people that, you know, have given us our freedom, right? I mean, you know, greatest honor I've got is to serve on Military Stability Commission and get to represent, you know, our veterans and active military. But when you look at not only the fact that these people are, you know, serving our country, you know, making sure they protect our freedom, right? The answer is that's absurd to take that away. I mean, you know, they ought to be able to continue to serve. And if they have whatever reason they have to not get vaccinated, I mean, COVID is a thing of the past, in my opinion, right? We're going to learn to live with it just like the flu, just like other stuff. And people have moved on in Alabama. And so we need to do whatever we can do to make sure they can continue to serve and not punish the people that are protecting our freedom. And here's the reality. You look at national stats. I was meeting with a general at Fort Benning. You know, there's 12,000 acres in Alabama on Fort Benning, and I was down there touring. And they're having real issues with recruitment Absolutely. Of people in the military. Why in the world would we weaken America and our defense by cutting a fifth of our National Guard? Because, I mean, yeah. Russia's ramping up. I mean, they're certainly being aggressive. You know, you look at what's going on across the world, there's threats to the U.S. We can't do that. I mean, this is where it needs to be fixed, and certainly anything I can do, you know, I'm all in for. I mean, because this is just common sense.
Yeah, we are right now. You're right. You mentioned recruiting. I want to say that the last study I saw, I did a segment on it, I think maybe last week, that literally we're at 40% lower than our milestone on recruiting. They can't get kids in. I think, the DOD won't admit it, but a lot of it is related to this sort of multi-layered woke policy. Putting kids want to go be warriors. They want right. to know that if I'm learning that skill and giving up some certain of my freedoms to go to hard places and do hard things, that I'm not going to be asked to share a shower with someone who says he's a woman when he's not.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, but at the same time, you've also got this, you know, aside from the social experimentation, you've also got the vaccine mandates. You've got the 20-year-long war, which finally ended in a debacle in Afghanistan and demoralized the troops in many ways. And you've got so many things that are happening. And then this vaccine mandate on top of it. But anyway, the bottom line is this. For Alabama, we're going to be at a crucial linchpin moment here. We have literally, and it's not just like we're losing a bunch of privates who it took a little time to get them ready. No, if you have an E-8 who is a qualified Green Beret medic who spent two tours downrange, it would take millions to replace his capabilities. The same would be, and you begin losing some of those kind of folks, you're not only losing combat capability and lethality, you're losing the experience and the institutional knowledge it takes to train the next level. So all that to say, Alabama's got a, and I'm not hearing much out of Governor Ivey's office on this. I think she issued one statement that said, don't do the mandates. But for the most part, it's been pretty quiet. And she's the commander-in-chief of this National Guard. So I'm hoping that coming out of the Capitol sometime soon, we're going to see some level of bowing up and bucking the system.
Yeah, now we're going to have to do it. I mean, when you look at, to your point, I mean, we just can't lose 18% of our National Guard. I mean, that's bad for Alabama, bad for America, and most importantly, bad for those individuals that are, you know, sitting there doing what makes America great. And so, yeah, certainly want to talk to you more about what we can do to make sure we push back on that, what other states are doing, because we've got to do it.
Well, I'll tell you what, let's take one more break, and then, Governor, we'll come back and wrap up. I just want to hear what you think your priorities are for the coming year.
Yeah, absolutely.
You had the luxury, my friend, of being the only statewide candidate to run unopposed.
Yeah, hey.
So that means
you'd rather be lucky than good, right?
You get to form your agenda and know that you get to carry it forward. You're already in. But we'll talk about that when we get back, all right?
Yeah, sounds great.
All right, folks. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Sitting here live in studio with Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth. A little bit more when we get back. Hang on. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Solid conservative, just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Boomer, that was a good bump, man. A little Ted Nugent there to rock our world. Thank you very much. A little cat scratch fever. All right, listen, we're back live in studio with Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth. Just enjoyed having you here today. Thanks for opining with us for a bit. Listen, you like I said before the break, you do have the joy of having run unopposed this time. I guess everybody saw the handwriting on the wall said, I'm not even going to try. So, but that means whatever agenda you would have run on, you get to walk in the door for sure with, because ain't nobody else out there to stop you.
Now, so I will say this. So I ended up not having a Democrat, a Republican, a Libertarian did qualify.
What?
Yes. So they qualified somebody in every executive office, and then I think maybe 50 legislative seats. So I do have a Libertarian that's running, but not a Republican or Democrat. So,
okay.
So, but anyway, we're working hard and still going to try to make sure we get elected. Polling looks really good.
Good.
Yeah, so we're
it
in good
better.
Shape. All right, so things we want to get accomplished next session.
Yeah.
All right, so first, we've got four more bills. We passed 22 bills in the last quadrennium, dealt with military families. A lot of those dealt with license reciprocity. Got a few more of those we need to get done. And the goal is to check every box that the Department of Defense ranks our bases and try to make sure that if we were red or yellow, that we turn those green, which is how they rank us. And so we're going to continue to work on that. That's a priority
all right,
and important. Why does that matter when we have another base realignment? We want to make sure we protect our bases here, and so that's important. Next, Small Business Commission. Chair of that. Last year, almost every tax cut that was passed in the state came out of our Small Business Commission. We're going to continue to have other things we're looking at in the Small Business Commission. We're getting ready to meet in the next month. And so what's great about Small Business Commission, it's made up of business owners, right? So all over the state. And, we just hear from them, hey, what do you think we ought to do? I think you're going to hear some more tax cuts that are proposed on what we can do. We raised the minimum threshold for personal property tax to $40,000, which helps every small business owner in the state. We eliminated the business privilege tax. I expect to see more recommendations from that next session. And the idea is this. Small business is the backbone of Alabama. It's the backbone of America. We need to continue to help, and we're going to continue to do that. And not only cuts, but what regulations can we remove? Want to make sure also on workforce development, right? We've got a whole package there dealing with, what can we do to make sure kids in K through 12, in particular middle school and high school, are getting trained, for a 21st century workforce. And so we've got to continue to put more money towards career coaches, because honestly, parents aren't doing their job anymore, which is frustrating.
Wow.
Career coaches sit down with students, and counselors are, overwhelmed with mental health issues. So career coaches help students find out what are you passionate about, what skill set do you have, help them get an internship and a job while they're in school. That's something we both did, right? Growing up, that's kind of been forgotten about. And then help them say, okay, you're not going to college. That's no big deal, right? But what do you want to do? And so that's real important, and what we've seen the data on that. So we want to add some more career coaches. Also update equipment, because 40% of our jobs are going to be displaced in the next 10 years because of technology. 40%, right? So we've got to have, you look at a car, right? On just how you do that now, you got to understand how to you know, analyze a computer, right? And you plug it in, it tells you what's wrong. So just things like that on the workforce side. I think also we've got a aerospace. We're getting ready. So we've got the Flag Planted Aerospace, got the Flag Planted Alabama for Defense.
Right.
Now we're getting ready to start a whole cyber front, right? So we're going to establish the National Cybersecurity Center of Excellence in Alabama. We're going to have the Alabama Cyber Corps in our school.
Where's the Cyber Center of Excellence going to be? Is that a military center of excellence?
It's going to be at UAH. It's going to be an educational institution and where we can draw down federal research dollars to help companies. But one of the biggest threats for our aerospace and defense companies is other countries trying to breach that security.
This was a bill that I think Arthur Orr helped pass. Was that already legislation that
it's
established
tied in with that?
That's yes,
right.
Exactly.
Yep. And so working on that, the Alabama Cyber Corps, just like we have ROTC, we want to establish that in our schools to where students can learn about that. We're working with the National Guard to establish a cyber range and where our national, you know, we established Space Guard last year, but we want to establish a cyber range and work with the National Guard to where they can have the capabilities to help protect as well. What else? We're starting internship programs for cyber to where we can get students while they're in high school and also dual enrollment classes dealing with potential cyber tracks. And so the idea is take all this stuff cyber, which is something, you know, I really wasn't even thinking about, to be honest, right? But when you look at one of the biggest threats we have is if another country can breach into our system, man, the jobs that are there, and it's not just for, obviously, military is important, obviously, you know, aerospace and defense, but everything, right? I mean, they broke into some of our schools before. And so that's going to continue. Remember the Colonial Pipeline?
Absolutely.
And so we want to try to be a leader in the country, right? We want smart jobs in Alabama, and we want to make sure our students are properly trained. So we're trying to get to our students while they're in middle school and high school and have an advantage over other states on cyber. So anyway, pay attention to that. I'll have a whole list of bills dealing with that. You know, that's a few things. And I think also we're going to be looking at tax cuts and making some recommendations on that, on assuming the economy still is going well, which it is, on what can we do to cut government, and I plan on being a leading voice on that.
I'm for it.
Yeah.
Well, listen, you know, just closing comments. I think it's something that people need to hear. You're a normal guy. I mean, a lot of times people think lieutenant governor or somebody. Our government is filled up with normal people.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
And, you know, I think it's also something that people don't realize. Your position as lieutenant governor is a part-time gig, technically.
That's right.
Charlene and I used to joke that the Senate was my full-time, part-time job. But everyone in the legislature and the lieutenant governor are all dual-hatted. You have another job somewhere. And you're a normal guy who goes to church. You have your kids in school. You go eat at the same restaurants where your constituents do. But yet you have these responsibilities in Montgomery. I guess I make that point because to humanize you a little bit, people in the state should not consider their elected officials to be out of touch, out of reach. You can reach them. And people see you around town all the time.
Yeah, no, we try to be out. I mean, heck, I coach my kids' ball games. I mean, you know, we're out all the time. And we own businesses, right? I mean, I'm a small business owner. We have a real estate company. We have a home construction business. I'm a cattle farmer. I'm not really making much money on the cattle side, but I enjoy it. But, you know, so, and, you know, we had Dream Ranch before. You know, we ended up getting out of that, selling that, but an awesome business. Started the Tennessee Valley Hunting and Fishing Expo. So, you know, I've been out there like everyone else, you know, trying to grind it out to make a living and understand that government so often can be an impediment and not an ally in trying to help you be successful. And so, look, I mean, the reason I ran is this, right? I think you've got one life to make a difference. You better make a difference while you're here. I don't want to go to D.C. I don't want to, you know, be in D.C., but, you know, my heart's in Alabama, and I honestly think we need good people that just want what's best for our state. And so that's why I decided to run.
Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth, just a normal dude with an abnormal job. We appreciate you being here on Right Side Radio today, man.
Yeah, always a pleasure.
All right, thank you. All right, folks, we're down to 4 o'clock. Those of y'all on the Birmingham market, hang tight. You got Priority Talk with Greg Davis. Those of y'all on the Huntsville market, we got a whole nother hour. Stay tuned to Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back.